fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled. But hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, thou shalt not kill, and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, thou fool, shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Thus our Lord teaches here in this little section from the Sermon on the Mount. So if you recall the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord teaches about the new kingdom, his teaching. He has already given the Beatitudes and a number of other teachings. And now, here in this section, he is teaching the difference between what his kingdom is, what he's talking about, and what was given in the Old Testament. Now, many of the commentators, St. John Chrysostom and St. Augustine, to name two, they point out, they say, here he's not really upbraiding the Pharisees. He's not saying that they don't have justice. He's saying that they have it, they have some degree, but that we have to exceed it. He says that we cannot imitate them. Why is that? Because the scribes and the Pharisees are concerned about exterior justice, or maybe we can say exterior holiness. But what he says is that ours has to exceed that. Ours has to be an interior one. And then he uses the example of the commandment, thou shalt not kill, to illustrate this. He says, you have heard it said to the ancients, that is in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill, and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. And then he says, but I say to you, now note that. He says, I say to you. If you recall in the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, they always give the commandments in terms of God. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not kill. Or anything. It's all through the Old Testament. And so here we see that Christ is speaking as the author of the law. It's not, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith my Father. I say to you, I am the legislator, I am the lawgiver, and now here is the law, the true law, the law of the heart. He says, thus I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, thou fool, shall be liable to the fires of Gehenna. There are three levels to anger, he's teaching here. There is the beginning one, the interior, where we are troubled by something from our brother. There's something there that's troubling us interiorly. And then it leads to this saying. He says, Raca. Now, many of the ancient commentators, like St. John Chrysostom and St. Augustine, and then also St. Thomas Aquinas, they say this word doesn't really mean anything specific. This is an exterior exclamation. So it would be something like we would do today of someone would say something like, oh, or some other type of word like that when they're upset. And so there's the interior troubling of the soul. Then that is expressed exteriorly, the next level, through some kind of utterance like that. And then finally, the third is to then say something about our brother. You fool. Or there are many other words less tasteful about the, you know, along these lines. And we can say it both, we should understand, to the person or maybe even the person not there. So someone might say, oh, those donkeys in Washington, they don't know what they're doing. Something like that. This would be the same thing. If we're troubled in our soul and it leads us to say that about someone else. It's important also to note that these three levels our Lord gives different warnings about. He says, the first one, you shall be liable to the judgment. That is, if you recall, right above he says, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be liable to the judgment. What is that? He's referring to the courts that the Jews had that covered capital cases, these type of civil courts, the judgment of the civil court. You'll be liable to that for that lower one. Now, he's using a little analogy here. The next one, he says, if you say Raca, you shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. What's the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin was the court, basically, that judged not in terms of civil things or the public order, but in terms of religious things. They're the ones who judged on heresy and these type of things. They're the ones who judged our Lord, right? Because they accused him of blasphemy. And so this is something more serious. This is a higher court, and it's more serious. And our Lord is pointing this out, that when you make those exterior words, that it's more serious. And then finally, he says, if you utter, you fool, then you're in danger of the fires of hell, in order to show just how serious this is. These are grave sins. These are mortal sins for just that little thing. Now, St. Peter, in the epistle, is really speaking about the same thing. The epistle and the gospel are matched, and in the extraordinary form, they're always matched. And so St. Peter, though, is talking about how we should have our attitude towards our neighbor, that we should not have this eye for an eye, that if my neighbor is angry at me, I should be angry back, or these type of things. Saying that we should just be merciful, reserved, and humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise, blessing. Now, in our translations, we're losing something there. For the Latin, there's something very beautiful in the way the Latin is termed here, that what is translated in my translation is abuse for abuse, or you might have some other word like strife or upbraiding or something like that. That word in the Latin that is translated abuse there is maledictum, which literally means to speak evil. Mal means evil, dictum means to speak evil. So you do not speak evil in response to someone speaking evil to you. And this could be anything. This could be a vulgarity, a blasphemy, or even gossip, tale-bearing, all these sins of the mouth. Telling little stories about people. You don't respond in like manner. What does he say? He says, but contrariwise, blessing. Now, in the Latin, again, we're missing something there, and there's a beautiful symmetry here, because the word for blessing in Latin is benedictum, to speak well. Bene means well, to speak well. And this could be just saying something kind about them in order to deflect gossip, or even to speak well of them to our Lord, to maybe say a little prayer for them. Lord, please forgive them and help us to overcome this difficulty that we have, or this strife between us. That is a good thing spoken, and that is a blessing. So we have this beautiful symmetry in the Latin. Do not respond to evil speech with good speech, but we are to respond properly. We are to love our neighbor, to turn away from evil, and to do good. And our Lord, going back to the gospel, then tells the Jews that if you have your offering, gift at the altar, and remember that your brother has anything against thee, then you leave the gift at the altar and you're reconciled to him. You should be reconciled. Now this can be, of course, literally, if it is literally your brother and there's something that you need to apologize for, then you do it, or your neighbor or something. Or it could be maybe it's not something you could go and apologize directly to your neighbor about, but you still need to, though, be reconciled in your heart. Remember, our Lord's talking about the interior justification, that we need to be reconciled within our heart. But if we need to apologize, though, we have to do that. You know, I believe that being able to apologize, and a true apology from the heart, is a true sign of maturity. That is a true adult who can actually apologize. Now, there are different apologies. You know, there's the, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. That's not a real apology. Right? But to just apologize, I'm sorry for whatever happened. Let's just put it behind us. A true apology. I'm sorry I did that. I was wrong and you were right. Simple as that. No buts. But don't do that again. No buts. It comes from our heart. And that's true maturity. And we need to be able to do that, to have that peace of heart, to be reconciled. Now, remember, for the Jews, they would make offerings at the altar to make up for their sins. They would bring, a lamb, depending on the law, the Old Testament, a heifer, or you could bring wheat and make an offering, or all these different offerings. And that's what our Lord is talking about, and that's what the audience here understood him to say, that before you can be reconciled to God for your sin with that offering, you have to be reconciled with your brother. And so it is for us. For we don't make offerings of lambs or bulls or anything like that, but we have the one offering, that is our Lord. And before we come to make that offering, to receive communion, that we have to be reconciled to our brother. How can we be united to God? Communion means that, co-union, to be united together with God when there is a division or a strife between brothers. It is a lie then to say, oh God, I'm united to you, when I have my own little private enmity against someone else. The Latin word for that is rixa, when you have like a little personal enemy at work, or maybe your brother or something like that. But it doesn't even have to be at that point. But to just not have that peace of soul toward your brother, toward your neighbor. Our communion then becomes a lie. This is why that we are to refrain from communion and to be reconciled. If possible, you have to apologize and to try to overcome the difficulty that was there. If that's not possible, of course, you do the best you can. You pray. But in all cases, we have to be reconciled through communion. I'm sorry, through confession, to first confess our sins, and then we can come and receive communion. Remember, as our Lord said, unless our justice, unless our holiness is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees. These are people that were only interested in the exteriors, the legalists. That we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That our holiness, our justification has to be interior with our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.